Brother Olga Kirkpatrick from Franklin, Tennessee. Come preach to us.
My wife told me don't do anything to draw attention to myself. So when she said that, I heard it, went back, and changed her shirt. Now then, you can draw attention to the red shirt. Okay. You got it?
One, two, three. You have 5 minutes.
I know you, fella. You better start waving hand a lot.
Chuck was wanted me to do that.
The sheriff pulled over the guy unloading garbage out of his pickup truck in New Braunfels, Texas. And he was loading it into a ditch, and the sheriff said, "Why are you dumping garbage in the ditch? Don't you see the sign right over your head?" "Yep," he replied, "that's why I'm dumping it here, because it says, fine for dumping." Let's bow our heads for a moment of prayer. Our Father, our God, we thank you so much for this fellowship. We thank you for Barbara and Jerry, and thank you for all of the people that are here tonight. We ask that as we read your holy word, that you will bless the reading of it for Christ's sake. Amen. I want you to turn with me to two verses in Scripture. Hebrews chapter 11. Keep your finger there, and go. I'm going to read one verse. I'm going to come back to it, and I want you to go to Acts chapter 7. Okay? Hebrews chapter 11, Acts chapter 7. Everybody's got Hebrews 11. Raise your hand. Johnny, I can't wait. Okay. 11, 1. Here we go. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. So keep your finger there. We're coming back to verse 10 in just a moment. In Acts chapter 7, verses 1 through 7. Then said the high priest, "Are these things so?" And he said, "Men, brethren, and fathers, hearken. The God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia, before he dwelt in Charan, and said unto him, Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred, and come unto the land which I shall show thee. Then came he out of the land of the Chaldeans and dwelt in Charan, and from thence, when his father was dead, he removed him unto this land wherein ye now dwell. And he gave him none inheritance in it, no, not so much as to set his foot on, yet he promised that he would give it to him for a possession, that to his seed after him, when as yet he had no child. And God spake on this wise, that his seed should sojourn in a strange land, and that they should bring them into bondage, and entreat them evil 400 years. Back to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 10. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Now, if I miss a few words in here, it's because that I can't see in, out of one eye and I'm blind in the other. I just went to have glasses made and they didn't have them back in time, and I really can't see that well. Excuse me ahead of time if I don't read it. And is my wife here?
You really can't see.
just raise up your hand and say, whoa, okay? We're talking about Abraham. If I have the time, I'm going to talk about Lot. And I hope that what I'm going to be teaching you from the Scripture is what you have not had detailed information on. It'll do that, okay? Now, here's what we have in Acts chapter 7. You go back there, so we're going to dwell there just a minute. In Acts chapter 7, what does Abraham do? Well, let's go to Acts chapter 7. Go back to Genesis chapter 12, and we're going to go back and forth from those, okay? In Genesis chapter 12, most of you have probably read and heard preached verses 1, 2, and 3 over and over and over again. So we'll read those. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing, and I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curses thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. In Acts chapter 7, we see something. God said, go. What did Abraham do? He went. What do you call that?
Obedience.
Now here's someone say obedience. Obedience. Faith. Is it faith? God said, go. He went. Here's the strange part about Acts. He said, to a strange land. Does it say he pitched a tent or something? Ever got there yet? He went and sojourned in a land that was strange to him, and he said, Abraham, I want you to go, but you're not going to get to see where you're going to go eventually. But he saw in verse 11 of chapter, verse 10 of chapter 11, he could see it afar off. And he said, you're not going to inhabit the land, but your seed will. How many of us would, if you got a message from God that says, need new Broncos and go to China? Okay? I want you to go. And when you get over there, I'm going to promise a plot of ground for you to have so that you'll be safe from the communists. Okay? But you're not going to be able to enjoy it. Your whole seed is going to be in bondage for a number of years, and you'll never get to see this place that I'm talking about. That's what Abraham did. That was the faith it is. Here's the thing about it in Acts chapter 7. We all think of Abraham's faith, but Abraham had a problem. And who did he have it with in Acts chapter 7?
With his father.
What was it about his father? It's Charlie, isn't it?
Bill.
Jack. George. Sam. Sam's sitting by you right there. Okay. So, he had a problem with his father, and he didn't go until what?
His father died.
How many preachers in this room didn't go until something happened? Okay? How many of you have been called of God to teach and you're not doing it? Don't raise up your hand, because most of you would do that. Because you see, you're servants of God and you're charged with the responsibility to teach the truth. Right in the Bible. Okay? That is your responsibility to do that, each and every one of you, to the best of your ability. If it's just that Christ died for my sins, was buried, and rose again the third day for my justification, that is your job to do every day that you're on this earth.
Amen.
Are you doing it? What's holding you back? Oh, well, I'll do that just as soon as I get proficient in the truth. I'm going to do that. You see, my wife is pretty sick, and I'm going to have to get her well before I can go and do that. A lot of you might not know this about Abraham. He didn't go until his father died. His father was a hindrance. Look at Acts chapter 7, verse 4. Then came he out of the land of the Chaldeans and dwelt in Charan. And from thence, when his father was dead, he removed him into this land wherein ye now dwell. Okay? Go to Acts chapter 22. I have problems with allergies in Tennessee, but when I got down here to Texas, the faucet opened up. Y'all have to excuse me for using the Kleenex often. Acts chapter 22, verse 6. And it came to pass that as I made my journey and was come nigh unto Damascus about noon, suddenly there shone from heaven a great light round about me, and I fell to the ground and heard a voice saying unto me, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And I answered, Who art thou, Lord? And he said unto me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. And they that were with me saw indeed the light, and were afraid, but they heard not the voice of him that spake to me. The men traveling with Paul could see the light, but they didn't receive the message. There are an awful lot of you who see things and know you should be doing some things, but you do not respond because you're not tuned in to the Lord. Okay? How many of you, don't raise your hands, just to yourself. How many of you know that you're saved? Think about it. You can raise your hand if you want to, that's fine. How many of you, but usually you follow instructions that you're given. It's just, you know, both. How many of you, if you spend enough time alone with the Lord, could hear the voice? We're in such a busy schedule and a hustle and bustle these days that we don't have time, we do not take the time to spend time with the Lord in private. You're missing the greatest blessing of your inheritance. See, you're part of the body of Christ. The Spirit of God dwells in your body and wants to communicate with you through the Word and through prayer. Communication. What is a monologue, people? That's me up here talking, right? What's a dialogue? Two people talking. So how is it that you can have a dialogue with God? You pray and you what? Read. This is God's Word. There's a dialogue. A lot of you might be prayer warriors, but you're not readers of the Word. You're not carrying on a conversation. You're not carrying on a dialogue. It's a monologue. Prayer must be coupled with the reading of God's Word. Is that clear? Does that make sense to you? Have I said amen? So please say it, right? You didn't sound like you meant it. Everybody that believes that, say amen. That's it. That's it. God wants to commune with you. He wants you to, 2 Timothy 2:15, quote it. Let's go. What does that mean? What it just back to what it says. It said that study not to the primitive word that I'll be ashamed. Actually means be put to shame. Okay? It says what it says, but it's talking about being put to shame. How can you be put to shame if you're talking with someone about Christ dying for the sins? Not right, a divided word of truth, right? How important is that? Very important. Well, our, see, you know, 2 Timothy 3:16. Anybody quote that?
Paul's scripture.
Go ahead and finish it. You stop there, don't we? Study to show thyself the proof of God is 2 Timothy 2:15. It's all scripture. Jerry, what's all scripture?
All scripture.
Huh?
All scripture.
Jack, what's a scripture? Study the all scripture is given by inspiration of God. What does that word scripture mean?
It's the whole Bible.
Okay.
Only written.
Brian, what is that?
All of them.
Did we have all of that in 2 Timothy 3:16? Or did he just have basically the Old Testament? Folks, there are too many people in right division that want to say, we do not study the Old Testament. Well, they just haven't heard preachers that really preach all the time. Maybe they came to a conference like this. Maybe this is your first time at a conference like this. And maybe what you're going to hear today is the gospel of your salvation. Okay? And you should do that every time you get up to preach, because that's the number one issue as far as God is concerned. That all men to be saved. And come to the knowledge. What? So it says the last thing. Come to the knowledge of the truth. How are you going to come to the knowledge of the truth if you don't do 2 Timothy 2:15? Right? You got to study to right and rightly divide the scriptures. There's a difference between Jews and Gentiles. But folks, there's a difference between Gentiles and Gentiles as well. And how are you going to know that if you don't rightly divide the truth?
Amen.
Right? So there's a challenge. Abraham was challenged to go, and God would bless him, but he waited until his father died. Once he went, he came to the land. Go back to Genesis chapter 12. Came to the land that he had, and the first thing that he did was, Jared, you know, I'm putting him on the spot. He built an altar. Right? What does the altar represent as far as the Old Testament is concerned? Huh? What does the word sanctuary mean? Bill, you're better off just being quiet. That's why I asked your name specifically. I wanted to make sure on this question that I had you right, okay? Is this room right here a sanctuary?
No.
So what is sanctuary?
Sacred place.
The dwelling place of God. The dwelling place of God came and sat in this auditorium. The sanctuary came into this auditorium and sat down. You could take these chairs out of here, and I understand maybe there was something like, you could take these chairs out of here and put on a play. Just get out there and make it a theater and a round. But the sanctuary is not defined unless you define it.
Amen.
Okay? Sanctuary. This altar that we had here represented God and His service. It's kind of like the dwelling place of God. We're going to deal with that just a little bit more. Once you indicate the land of Canaan, build an altar. Go to 12. Let's read after 3. Let's go ahead and read 4. So Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abram took Sarah, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran. And they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. And Abram passed through the land unto the place of Sichem, and the plain of Moriah. That's not the correct pronunciation. That was Jerry. I asked him if he was the right pronunciation. And the Canaanite was then in the land. No, I didn't do that. Canaanite was then in the land. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. The first thing that he did when he got into a strange land was to build something which made him aware of the God that he worshiped. It's going to be important as we go on. And I don't know if I'm going to have to do this in 2 sessions or not, but we'll see. As if the raving idiot back there starts raising my hand back in. So Abraham separates himself from the world. I wasn't talking about him, Dick. Okay. But soon there's a problem that presents itself. There's a famine. Now, since it's going to take a little while, what I want you to do is I want you to listen to what I have to say. Acts chapter 17, verse 11. What does it say? These were more noble than those of Thessalonica, that they received the word with all readiness and then searched the scriptures monthly. Daily, whether these things were true. What did they? First, they received the word, and that's why the yellow pads are back there. Write down the scripture, go check it out. All right? So here's what I'm saying. There was a famine in the land, and Abraham went to Egypt. He did not go with God's instruction. He went on his own. We'll see that in a minute. He went on his own into Egypt. Yes, he went over there and he prospered. Yes, when he came back out of Egypt, he had more than he went into Egypt with. But he had left God. Oh, I know it might be a little stretch, but he did. Story goes he left. When he comes back to the land, he's back in favor with God. So I'm going to say he left the favor of God when he went over into Egypt. Soon there's a problem presents himself, and that's why he goes. In Egypt, he obtained a life of ease and luxury, escaping the hardships of the land of promise, but he lost his worship, and that of being a stranger and a pilgrim. I used to, I was raised Southern Baptist, and I used to sing one of the first solos that I sang. And I hated the song. It was the range was so out of, and it's not scripturally correct these days that I know, but I am a poor wayfaring stranger traveling through this world. Well, there is no sickness, toil, nor danger in that bright land to which I go. I'm going there to see my Father. I'm going there no more to roam. I am just going over. Here's the part. Jordan. But what the song implies is that we are pilgrims on this earth, and we are strangers, and we should not be a part of this earth as long as we are on this earth. We should be separated from those out there. Be ye separate, says the Lord, and come out from among them. Right? Why, shoot. 90% of you in here want to get right in the middle of all of them. Me included. Jerry talked about that at his Barrett's funeral. You know, the biggest detriment to God is the cell phone. I hate to get behind a woman on the cell phone. It was bad enough before she got her cell phone, because she'd be brushing her hair, getting ready to go, and she'd be putting on that lipstick for, you know, anything that's going to take away from your attention to the road. It could be dangerous for me. Right? The cell phone is dangerous. Not only is it dangerous. What was that? Would you stand up and say that again?
It could interfere with your drinking your coffee.
Do you live here now, or are you still down in Corpus Christi? But you're right, eh? Yes. Things take us away from our time along with God. Whatever it is, the biggest obstacle for youngsters today is electronics. Video games, help them. I guarantee you, I won't put him on the spot here. Anthony, I will not put you on the spot. If I were to ask him, if he truthfully told me how many hours a day he spent on his cell phone or on video games, I bet you it's more like six,
yeah.
Seven. How much time do you spend in the Bible, Anthony? That's because I love him. It's the only reason I can pick up. All right, here's the thing. What about you adults? Who am I going to pick on here? Johnny. How you doing, Johnny?
I was doing
good. I just wanted to see if you knocked down off the safety. Okay. So, most of us spend too much time doing something else, more time than we spend alone with God, much less reading His Word. Take time to be holy. That's another great song. You would know that I was a song leader for 4 years. I quote a lot of songs. Take time to be holy. What's the next one? Anybody remember that?
Speak off with the Lord.
Speak how? What? What's that word off mean? A lot. Okay? These youngsters know a lot. Speak a lot with the Lord. Speak off with the Lord. Spend much time in with your sweetheart? Jesus. Oh, Lord. All right? Hey. If you want to have joy, real joy, wonderful joy, anybody know that song? If you want to have joy, real joy, wonderful joy, what? Let Jesus come into your heart. If you're saved, you're not spending enough time along with Jesus Christ, you are missing the biggest part of the blessing of being saved. That's what's important. That's what. There's plenty in the world that our old nature loves. The desires of the heart, the gratifying of the flesh, but what good do they do if they lead you out of the path of faith and simple obedience? Now, I know where Charlie is. I've got this tooth. It's been giving me a problem. Man, it's the hole. It's between the two teeth. Excuse me. In Egypt, Abraham obtained the life of obtaining wealth and things like that, but he gave up something. Abraham's journey back home is found in Genesis chapter 13. Let's look at it. Verse 1. And Abraham went up out of Egypt, his wife, and all they had, and Lot with him, into the south. And Abram was very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold. And he went on his journey from the south, even to Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning between Bethel and Hai, unto the place of the altar which he had made there at the first. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord. Okay? In an apparent renewal of faith, he picks up his tent and goes back to the promised land. Watch this, folks. This is. You need to write this down, okay? Now, because I'm saying it, you just need to write it down to remember what you're going to go in. as far as God was concerned, Abraham had gained nothing. Why? God wasn't really part of his life in Egypt. How many of you are traveling in Egypt right now? How many of you have wandered away from the promised land? Okay. Maybe you learned a valuable lesson. We all learn from our failures, that's true, but he had lost much, much more time spent honoring God. Your time should be spent in honoring God every day. I had open heart quadruple bypass surgery June 16th, 2009. Let me tell you something. I said this at Jack's Bible Conference. You know, I don't really care what you think about me and what I'm going to say. I'm just going to say what I believe God is leading me to say. And if you don't like it, I don't care if hair lifts every kind of text, I'm going to say it anyway. Alright? But we should all have that. Not till you wait until you get into a situation such as myself. My wife got on me last night when Dick and Nancy picked me up. I wanted to have fried catfish, and she said, "No, you don't need to eat fried food." Well, heck, I don't care. I need to die by the time I'm 80 years old. You know why? My insurance runs out at 80. Linda won't get any money if I don't, you know, if I don't die by then. So I'm going to give it wholly, whatever that other word follows most times, for the next 7 years. Okay? Now, if you don't like that, tell Jerry, don't send him back here next year. Because next year it's going to get worse. It's going to get worse for 1.5-6 years. Okay. The enemy, Satan and the world, wants the people of God to defile themselves by worshiping God in their world. You know what? You can't worship God honestly in Satan's world. Some of you got one foot in and one foot out. Okay? You know what? God wants you to jump in. Jump off into the deep end and watch what God will do. The enemy has caused so many to be led away by wanting to know the truth and wanting to be holy. You don't need to want to be holy. You need to be holy. Your want needs to change. I don't know about Texas, but in Louisiana, that's pretty good English. And in Tennessee, it's real good English. Someone told me that people from Alabama, this also represents the Crimson Tide, right, Jack? And they're going to probably roll over my Tigers in about 2 weeks. But he told me that everybody's name in Alabama is Buff or Junior. Is that true? Freddie, is that true?
Or Freddie.
Or Freddie. You know what Kirk Grace believers say? Well, I don't make any difference if I go out every now and then and kick up my heels. I'm saved anyway. Oh, if I had you raise your hand on that one. The one who didn't, I'd say you're a liar. Is that true? Just because you're sealed by the Holy Spirit promise, does that mean it gets us a little? license to do what the world is doing? I told him to wait until 8 o'clock rolls out. It does not. Path Abraham was called to pursue lies between two dangerous extremes. Have you given me a 5 minute warning yet? Which path, Patty?
No.
I ain't back up. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17. No, don't go there. It says, come out from among them and be ye separate. Okay? I think that's what it says. That's what my notes are supposed to say. It says, okay? You got to be separate. Abraham was deceived. Too many people were led away by this thing. Just because you know that you're saved, you believe you can go and do a whole lot of things, and that is not grace doctrine. Grace teaches you that you shouldn't want to. As a Southern Baptist, it used to be for me, everybody said, oh, you're one of the ones saved, always saved people. I said, yep. I am.
Amen.
And you know what? That's true. Once you're saved, you are saved. Once you're saved, guess what? You know where you're going? You can say the same thing that in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 10 said, you can see that hope out in the distance. That's what we long for, isn't it? Death might come, I hope that if God's going to call me, that He'll call me when I'm in the middle of hollering up in front of a group of people trying to teach the Word of God. And if you're here to worry about me, you might be lost. Are you? I've seen a lot of you here that I know before, and I've seen a lot of faces, but you know what? Jared just told me last night, there was a guy that was preaching the grace of God. How long, Jared?
30 years.
30 years, I say, yesterday, or the day before, whatever it was. You might be a grace believer for a long time. It doesn't mean that you're saved. Unless you trusted Christ as your Savior. You see, if you think you had to do anything, if you think you had to get baptized to be saved, and I hope I don't offend anybody here, but I really don't care, okay? But if you think getting baptized to be saved is going to save, you're wrong. You're not saved if you think that's part of your salvation process. If you think that offering sacrifices is going to get you saved, you're not saved. If you think that by saying something to some idol that sits out in front of the church, and that person, or that idol, is going to get you in touch with God, and you think that's why you're saved, because they're intervening here, you're not saved. You can write this down. I don't see a pencil. It's hard to be your brother's keeper when you're building your own assets. What does that mean? That's pretty good. You ever say it again? It's hard to be your brother's keeper when you're building your own assets. Why? Because you're drawing attention to the red shirt. And you just thought I wore this because it made you look pretty. That's it. Once Abraham had left Egypt, his priority was to walk with his brother in unity. You will not bear one another's burdens if you are concerned with number one.
Amen.
Why? Because what Egypt represents sucks the very essence of grace out of us and away from the simple dependence on God. Go to Galatians chapter 5, verse 6. verse 6. For in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. How much love do you have in your heart for Jesus Christ? My definition for idol worship. Okay? Anything that occupies more of your time than God. How many of you are idol worshipers? Mamas, if your children occupy more of your time than God, you're worshiping an idol, call your children. Newborn wives, newborn. New married wife. If your mom occupies more of your time than God, you worship. And I call you mama. Abraham took Lot with him. They both came back out together. But Lot, his nephew, didn't come back with the same zeal that Abraham did. Why? He left his heart in San Francisco. Alright? Paul went with Barnabas. And then something happened, and Paul said, no, I'm not going to take John Mark with me. Because Paul felt like that John Martin, we talked about this last night, and Jerry and I don't agree with this, I would tell you about this ahead of time, but you know, no, I'm not. He was right, because John Mark, at the moment in time, thought about more other things than he did about following God. Came back later. Paul said he was useful in his ministry later. Paul was set out on a mission. A long, long time he had been a Jew in the hierarchy of the Jewish religion. And when God got him turned on, he was wound up so tight, he just couldn't do anything but fight. 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 We need to do that tonight. We have to choose either to walk by faith or walk in the flesh. Which will you do? Thank you.